This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah. My hallelujah belongs.
So we take this wonderful music and we bring it into our cells of our being as we affirm together our opening statement. And if you know it, say it with me. There is but one presence and one power in my life and in the universe, God the good, omnipotence. And I invite you to breathe in this truth and just as we brought in the music, bring it into every cell of your body. And it is so. Amen. So good morning and welcome to our live stream from Metropolis. There's very few of us in the room as we are practicing safe distancing. So I want to welcome our community. We miss you being in the room, but we know that you're home safe. And I also want to welcome Unity of Whidbey Island, who is also joining us this morning, and perhaps the Solstice Senior Center may be joining us as well. So just a couple of announcements. One of the ways that we are seeking to remain connected during this period of time is through a Zoom midweek service on Wednesday nights at 7, which you're welcome to join us for, and a check-in. It's kind of nice to see each other's faces, even if we can't touch each other, and you'll be receiving an email with a link to that. Also, just a reminder that we have set up a text to give number, so you'll see that on the screen, which is 206-350-8448, and we'll take a moment to bless that later in the service. So right now, I'm going to hand it back to Erin.
I'm going to introduce your worship arts team today. This features Tim here and our very special guest, B. Russell, is here with us today. Our band is Marina Christopher, David Loy, and Chris Monroe. We're going to sing a song together. If you want to sing at home, please do. This is called I Am Blessed. Here it goes. Blessed, blessed, blessed. When I wake up in the morning, lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day of my life, I am blessed, 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 blessed. To turn a page into a more contemplative part of the service. In the center of that part of the service, there will be a meditation. When we do it live, it's silent, but for our online version, there will be an instrumental piano piece during which we'll be able to go deeper and really settle in. But now's probably a good time to find a good place on your couch. Karen will guide us into the meditation. But first, we'll have a chant together, led by Tim.
Door of my heart, open wide, I wait for God. Door of my heart, open wide, I wait for God. Night and day. Night and day, night and day, I wait for God. Night and day, night and day, night and day, I wait for God. Door of my heart, open wide, I wait for God. Door of my heart.
And so I invite you to take a moment to center in, to become still, to become quiet as we join in this time together. So we begin with a few moments of prayer, and we bless our community. We bless the city of Seattle. We bless our nation and the world. And we imagine and see these ripples of love, these ripples of harmony going out and encircling the planet, bringing us peace and centeredness and healing as we go through these troubled waters. We hold the people of Italy, the people of Spain, particularly in our hearts this morning. We bless all first responders, the people who work in the grocery stores, the doctors, the nurses, all of those who are called to be out in the world. So may they be safe and free from danger, healed and well. And we hold this thought for ourselves and for others. And I invite you just to rest in this silence for the next 3 minutes.
Thank you. Sobrando, aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Siempre estás sobrando. Siempre estás sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Siempre estás sobrando. Siempre estás sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. My God, that is who you are. Hey, aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is moving in the midst. I worship you. I worship you.
Thank you. So I want to welcome you once again and let you know that we are live streaming from downtown Seattle at Metropolis. And I miss seeing all of you in this room, because we know that Jesus said that whenever two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And we recognize that there's something magical that happens when we're together in prayer and in worship. However, now we're practicing whenever two or more are gathered in the internet or in another way. We know that that third presence, the Holy Spirit, that encounter with God still happens even if we are separated by physical distance. We are still spiritually connected. So I am grateful for the internet. So this is a critical time for us to maintain physical distancing. The stats on Italy are that I believe there were 800 deaths yesterday, and then in Spain it was 400, so the numbers keep climbing. I'm grateful that we live in Seattle in King County that has taken the lead in building makeshift hospitals and really staying on top of this. So I bless you all for staying home and for being safe, because we are living in strange times and we are in unknown territory. Right now, this is a very strange wonder, which is the title of my talk. Because the thing is, we don't know how long this is going to last, and we don't know what the long-term economic effects are going to be. We don't know who is going to get sick next. So we're in this unknown place. And last week I talked about the idea that we really have very little control over what's happening. And I had asked you last week to take a look at your own control issues, right? And to see how do you handle those things. And what can you have control over in your life or maybe in your home? It's also an opportunity to practice the Sabbath, right? To take time. So I hope you're carving out some time during this period to meditate, to do some yoga, to sit in front of a candle and just reflect. And so, again, we're in this strange place, a strange place of wonder. And I was playing with words this week, and I was looking at the word wonder, which also means awe, right? And to be filled with awe is to have your breath taken away. So you know that you're filled with awe, for instance, when you stand before the Grand Canyon. It's just like you're just filled with awe. But you're probably also filled with awe when you stand in front of a tornado, right? It's a different kind of awe because it's like, whoa, I'm a little scared, but this is pretty amazing at the same time. And in the Old Testament, the word awe and fear are used almost interchangeably. Audrey Pollock said that as human beings, we are creatures of awe and wonder. And at the same time, we are fearful of what we experience as wondrous but cannot understand. So the edge between fear and awe is razor thin. And we are at once fearful because of the extent of our vulnerability and at the same time awed at the mysterious experience of the holy that fills our world. So it's a razor thin awe and fear. And so I want us to lean into more of the wonder and awe and less of the fear. So that's kind of where we're going this morning. So yes, there is much to fear in the world right now, but fear can be transformed into awe, because it's two sides of the same coin. Now, we can't deny what's happening right now because it goes beyond the norm. And in many ways, we're being shaken to our core to see things differently. So as I see it, we have three options when we're dealing with fear. The first is we can run from it. The second is we can give in to it. And the third is that we can face it. So when we run from it, we distract ourselves, right? And boy, we have like thousands of ways to distract ourselves. We can eat, overeat, drink, binge watch nonstop. So those are some of the ways we run from it, which is maybe fine for a while. But have you ever noticed that when you're running from something in the middle of the night, it just pops up on you? It's just like all of a sudden, there it is. I know in the middle of the night, I wake up and my throat is a little scratchy, and I'm like, uh-oh, do I have the cough? Maybe I should go take my temperature, which I've been doing a couple times a day. And then in the middle of the night, it's like, why didn't I finish my will? Why haven't I finished that? You know? So those are some of the things that come up in the middle of the night when we're running from something. If we give in to it, we can become paralyzed with fear and anxious. And yet if we face it head on, that's when we can transform it and turn it into awe. So Jill Bolte Taylor wrote a book called The Stroke of Insight. And we spent some time on this last year practicing this as a community. But after she had a stroke, she studies the brain and how it works and everything. And she came up with an insight that she calls the 90-second rule. When a person has a reaction to something in their environment, there's a 90-second chemical process that happens to the body that happens in the body. After that, any emotional response is just the person choosing to stay in that emotional loop. So in other words, we have an emotion, whether it's positive or negative. And what Jill Bolte Taylor is saying, if you invite it in and let it be and track it around your body and breathe into it, it lasts 90 seconds. And then you can let it go. Now, what we do instead of letting it go is we feel it and then we ruminate and we keep spinning it around and around and around, and then we end up getting stuck in it. She said, if we stuff our emotions or resist expressing them, these chemicals remain in our body and we have to do something to manage them, whether it's emotionally eating, drinking, shopping, keeping busy so we can't sit down. Fighting emotions and resisting them means that we have to continue to keep a lid on them, and this takes energy. Anyone can tolerate a feeling for 90 seconds. What do you say? Can you tolerate an emotion for 90 seconds? And so we can allow these feelings to come in, we can flush them through our system, and then let them go and ride the wave of emotion. So I actually would like us to do that right now, is just to check in with yourself about what it is you're feeling. And maybe you're feeling fine this moment, and I think that's great. But let's do the 90-second rule. So I'm going to time us for 90 seconds. David will be playing in the background. And so I invite you just to become still again for a moment. And what is it that you're feeling right now? And since there is so much fear and anxiety going around, tap into that if you like. And the 90 seconds begins now. So invite it in. Whatever it is you're feeling, do not run from it. Do not allow it to control you, but invite it in as if it were a friend. Where do you feel it in your body? Is it in your chest, in your abdomen? Breathe deeply into this experience and allow it to wash through you. Allow the chemical process to move through your body. So we are at 1 minute. I'm going to give you another 30 seconds to feel your emotions. And so we release it, we let it go, and we let it be. And then I invite you to bring your awareness back to this place. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot calmer. Maybe you do too. So let's think about what kinds of things we can do to transform fear into awe. Well, probably the number one thing that I see people doing is going out for a walk. Especially now in Seattle, it's like 60 degrees, it's spring, and it's beautiful. And it is one of the things that we can do. And so to allow ourselves to look at the trees, to look at the flowers that are blooming, and to be willing to be awed, and not afraid, but to be awed by what's happening in our world. For those of you who are home with your children, it's an opportunity to spend time with them. For those of you who have dogs and cats and birds, you get to hang out with them. I know people are saying that cats don't care whether you're around, but they do. And I have to say that I'm sort of grateful right now because my cat is at the end of his life. And he's, you know, and rather than me running around and doing all these things, I get to be with him towards the end of his life. Consider bringing home an animal from the shelter right now. They're just sitting there in those cages, and you're home anyway. You might as well invite an animal into your life. Limit the amount of time that you spend looking at the news. Maybe make a deal with yourself, like you're going to check in once or twice a day, but don't do the 24/7 watching the news, because that's a sure way to amp up the anxiety. You're stuck at home. Are there any projects that you have to do? Maybe you can paint a room. Maybe going through stuff and starting to get rid of things that you no longer need. It's an opportunity to do that. And how about trying to write what you are feeling? And I'm going to invite you to use a pen and a paper as opposed to the computer, because I think the act of physical writing helps to ground us. I've shared before that my children were raised in Waldorf, and one of the things that when they learned to write, they were supposed to use fountain pens. And I don't know if you've had to go out and try to find a fountain pen these days, but, and I was like, why do they have to have a fountain pen? And they said, well, it's because the ink from the fountain pen kind of connects with the body, and it's almost like what you're writing, it's like your blood coming onto the paper. I'm sure they didn't say it exactly that way, but you get the idea. It's like there's this visceral connection you don't have to go out and get a fountain pen, but allow yourself that visceral experience, right, of touching paper with pen and capturing this moment, because we're living in some really interesting times, and writing is like taking a photograph of a moment in time, and you're having your own unique experience about this. Obviously, we are grateful for the internet. We can Skype, we can FaceTime, we can Zoom call our friends and family to catch up. My stepdaughter had a Zoom happy hour the other day with her friends, and I had a FaceTime meal with my son a couple days ago. And what we did is we both went out and bought the ingredients. We made chicken tikka masala. It was very good. But what we did is we went out and bought the ingredients, and then at a certain time we signed on and we cooked together. So we were both putting the food in the pan at the same time and marinating this and doing this. And what it did was that it engaged all the senses. So you know when you're just talking online, you know, you see each other, and you hear each other, but you can't touch each other. So if you cook with somebody, it engages taste and it engages smell. And so my son and I cooked this meal. It took us about an hour, and then we all ate together. And I feel like I spent the evening with him. He's in LA, but I feel like I spent the evening with him. So just a thought of something that you can do to catch up with your family and your friends. Who haven't you talked to in a long time? You know, which friend has sort of fallen by the wayside? Now's an opportunity to call them up and just catch up with them and see how they're doing. So we have all these things that we can do as we move through, but obviously it's always important to stop and look at what's the spiritual message here? Like, what's really going on? And could it be that this virus, this COVID-19, this thing that threatens to kill us, could be the thing that is here to save us? Because we know and have known for years that things are getting out of hand with climate change. Fires, floods, extreme weather, melting ice caps, the rising sea. We know that the clock is ticking, and yet we have been pretty slow to do anything about it. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we've been really slow. And there's even many who believe that it's not even happening. So even though we've taken small steps to change things, we haven't really gone to the level that we should. And so all of a sudden, we're in this forced lockdown, and we can't drive our cars en masse, right? We can't be doing all the things that we are normally doing, that we're so busy we don't have a chance to stop and think and look and go, what's going on, right? What's really happening here? So it's almost like the earth is saying, hey, you guys, you got to wake up, and I'm giving you all a timeout. You got to figure this out. So some of the things that are happening, and I'm sure if you pay attention to the news, you've seen it, is that in Venice, there's dolphins back. I don't know if they've ever been there, but there's dolphins, there's swans, the water is blue. And one of the citizens said that we Venetians have the feeling that nature has returned and it's taking back possession of the city. Now, their economy depends on tourism. But he said, I honestly believe that we should take this opportunity of this lockdown to reflect and see how we can be more organized in the future to find a balance between the city and tourism. And maybe that's one of the things that we're all being called to do here, is to find that balance, to find the balance between activity and rest and nature and this industrialized world that we live in. To take a breather and to take a breath. There have been so many, creative things happening. And last week I shared that, you know, people were singing in Rome, and they tried it in Chicago too, apparently with 1,000 people singing John Bon Jovi's Like a Prayer. It wasn't exactly the same like it was in Italy with those voices. It was like, okay, you guys, you need some music lessons. But the heart was there. People were singing together. So people are coming together in different ways. One of the things that I received this week was something called an imagined letter from COVID-19 to humans, and it's by Kristen Flintz. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's very long, but I want to share with you. Imagine that COVID-19 is speaking to you. Stop. Just stop. It is no longer a request. It is a mandate. We will bring the supersonic high-speed merry-go-round to a halt. We will stop the planes, the trains, the schools, the malls, the meetings, the frenetic, furried rush of illusions and obligations that keep you from hearing our single and shared beating heart, the way we breathe together in unison. Our obligation is to each other, as it always has been, even though you have forgotten. We will interrupt this broadcast. the endless cacophonous broadcast of divisions and distractions to bring you this long breaking news. We are not well. None of us. We are all suffering. Last year, the firestorms that scorched the lungs of the earth did not give you pause, nor the typhoons in Africa, China, Japan, the fevered climates in India. You have not been listening. It is hard to listen when you are so busy all the time, hustling to uphold the comforts and conveniences that scaffold your lives, but the foundation is giving way, buckling under the weight of your needs and desires. Stop. Just stop. Be still and listen. And so I'd like to close with a prayer. And this was sent to me yesterday by Tom Curran. Thank you for showing us that we are dependent on something much bigger than we think. Thank you for making us appreciate the luxury we lived in, the abundance of products of freedom, health, and realizing that we're taking it for granted. Thank you for all the fear. For it has been a global disease for years, but not many of us have wanted to face it and learn how to embrace it with the love and support of our community. So thank you for this re-evaluation of our lives. Thank you as we finally understand that we are all connected. Thank you for the unity between us all. We knew that the world has to change. So thank you for helping us. Thank you for giving us a chance to build a world from the very beginning. And it is for this awareness that we are grateful. Amen. So the edge between fear and awe is razor thin. What I invite you to do as you go forth this week is to find strange wonder.
From the inside of me, may you delight in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside of me. Set me on fire from the inside of me. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be. From the inside. to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All our work is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. What is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All our work is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Oh, fill my life till
So this is the time in our service where we normally take up an offering, but since there's no people in the room, we can't really do that. But we are going to do it electronically. So again, I have my phone, and I'm going to text to give after we bless the offering. So again, that number is 206-350-8448. So let's just take a moment. I give willingly, joyfully, and lovingly, knowing that God is the constant source of my supply. I give with graciousness and receive with gratitude. So we send out our green energy, our love. We bless it, knowing that it returns to each giver a millionfold. Again, I want to remind you that Wednesday night at 7, we'll have a midweek service online and a check-in. And that said, I'd like you to join with me as we share in our closing prayer of protection. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
All together, Shanti.
Shanti.